Welcome to another 10K Saturday. This week, Lulu got to sit down with the newest member of Team 10K, our friend, our bae, and our new producer, Andrea Canny. She's been a listener from the beginning, so she knows us really well, and we love her. We've even taken a road trip with her. And for that road trip, we use rentalcars.com, the best resource for your next car rental. If you've got a new podcast producer and you want to take a bonding road trip, make sure to book through 10kdollarday.com/rentalcars. But don't zoom off just yet. Let's get back to Andrea Canny. Here we go.
And now it's 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another 10K Saturday. And this is the first time that I have done a 10K Saturday face-to-face with someone else since March 2020. So I'm very excited about that. We are about to talk to Andrea Canny. Say hi.
Hi.
I know normally you don't hear their voices that fast, but she's our producer. This is like her home, too. So, you know. But if you're here, you're here for a 10K Saturday. That means it's a bonus feature. It's a guest interview. You also see in our feed our regular imaginary luxury travel episodes. Those are really fun. We've been doing those since 2018. And every week, Allison Burns and I spend a fake $10,000 somewhere in the world in 24 hours. It's a little crazy. Sometimes we buy llamas. Sometimes we throw parades. And sometimes we just sit around in silence extravagantly. Join us over there. We also have our 10-minute daily happy, which is just a nice wind you up, warm you down. That's not a thing. Warm you up, wind you down. What do we say?
Wake you up, wind you down.
Thank you, producer. Oh my gosh. But today we are speaking with someone who has been a listener of 10K since the beginning, a supporter since the beginning. I have known her for a very long time. Allison has known her for years and years, even before 10K as well. And now she's our new producer. Everyone, welcome Andrea Canny.
Hello, 10Kers.
Hello, 10Kers. So we're going to talk a little bit about you as a listener, because I'm really interested to talk about that. And then we're going to introduce them a little more to Andrea Canny and what she's been doing and how all of her experience kind of leads to what's going on and maybe what she hopes for 10K.
Maybe we'll... Ooh!
We got big plans.
We got big plans. All right. So first of all, we've been friends for a while and you very quickly became a really engaged listener for the podcast. You know you listen to some other podcasts as well. You also host your own podcast, The Rise, which is about the art scene in Orlando, which is amazing. What do you like about podcasts? Where it fits in your life? What is the easiest way to ingest it? How did you get started? Like, as a consumer, where do they fit in for you?
Well, I am that person who, I'm such a geek, on a Friday night, instead of going out and partying, I would go to Publix, buy my groceries for the week, go home, pop a beer, and listen to NPR. And then in the morning, I would wake up, make my coffee, and I would listen to Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and all the morning shows. So I'm a listener. I love listening to entertainment. And I find it very entertaining and it engages my brain. And I like that. So podcasts are a logical transition for me for that, because I get to do it on demand. I can do it in the car at any time. I don't have to stay in my car like at NPR. That was always
their thing.
They were like, you know,
the driveway moment.
Yeah, the driveway moment. I'm like, I don't have to have the driveway moment because I can go back in the house and still listen to it, right? If it's on demand. So that's one of the reasons why I was attracted to podcasts. And I love storytelling. I love getting to know people, especially people who know stuff that I don't know, like really smart people with math brains and stuff. people who can add, basically. But I mean, I love comedy, and I was just so proud of you when you first started it. I just wanted to support. And then I was like, wait, this is really good. So I, of course, kept listening, but I am definitely that 10K bae that sits in her car, and people have looked at me like I was a crazy person because I was laughing and talking to my car. Nobody was in the car. My dog was not in the car, and I am having a full-on conversation.
You didn't really know Allison super well. We've definitely crossed paths before and we all have a show in common in our past. But tell me about getting to know Allison through the podcast.
That is an excellent point. I got to know her better that way because you two are best friends. Mm-hmm. And noticing the dynamics between you, your differences, I feel that I got to know her best by her relating to you as a best friend. And I got to see how different she was from you and your distinct different personalities, but how great they worked together, how complimentary they were.
Yeah. I've always known Allison was a fun friend to have. I think through the podcast, I've never really had a friendship to analyze before, but it ends up being analyzed only because it becomes a product, which is really strange, but also cool. So that's interesting. Is there anything different in us personally than there is in the way we present on the podcast?
No.
I'm just curious.
No, not
that
at
wasn't
all.
Challenging. I think you guys, that wasn't a challenge.
No, I think you guys are completely yourselves. And I think that is the driving factor of people continuing with the podcast, because they get invested in you both personally and the relationship you have together. It's the interaction and the energy and the dynamic between the two of you is magical, because you're like true best friends that you can complete each other's sentences, but you're so different that it's absolutely hilarious. My favorite thing that you do is when Allison will say something and you'll wait and then you'll go, is it? Is it? And I love that. And I love that she can't pronounce anything to save her life. And it brings me so much joy. I don't know why.
We try really hard. Okay, I don't want to spend your 10K Saturday talking about us, because it's kind of a little bit like, tell us how you live us. So let's go back just a little bit. You are a very, very experienced performer. You've not just performed in theme parks, which is where I met you. You performed at the famous Pleasure Island, where all the comedians were. And you were a princess.
I was a princess. My best friend, Trudy Peterson, and myself, we were the two original Belles in Beauty and the Beast live on stage at MGM Studios, which it will always be MGM Studios to me. It will never be Disney's Hollywood Studios, because DHS is acronym for Diamond Horseshoe.
That is so deep in Disney trivia, everyone. If the last 15 seconds to you was just gobbledygook, just know that there's like 30 people in Kissimmee, Florida. who felt that real hard.
Real hard. Yeah, so that was the beginning of my Disney career. And I've been really lucky. For the better part of about 26 years, I worked pretty much full-time at Disney, the exception of the three times I went to Tokyo to work with them. It's a different company that just pays the rights to use the Disney brand. So I did three contracts over there, which is great. I moved to New York a couple times, lived and worked in Lancaster, Pennsylvania for a while, for 10 months, met some amazing people. And even before I came to Disney, I did 42nd Street in Europe for a year. The majority of my 35-year career has been in theme park, because sure. I started at Kings Island in Cincinnati, Ohio, and spent 30 years here in Orlando.
You spent 3 years in Tokyo?
Three separate contracts, but it was almost 3 years because... Right. Yeah. So in 98, I did a 9.5 month contract to do Swing and Sing at TDL, Tokyo Disneyland. And then in 2002 and 2004, I did 8 month contracts to do Broadway's Encore at Tokyo Disney Sea, which is an absolutely stunning park. Stunning.
Yeah, I've heard it's beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous.
When you're performing, especially for something like Tokyo Disneyland, how much are you actually in Japan? And can you isolate yourself enough where you have a completely American experience, or are you having to adjust every day to stuff like when you move to another country?
I do know some people who refused to embrace Japanese culture, say the food. They would eat either McDonald's or KFC, which is big over there, or Starbucks. But for me, I'm a traveler. I'm a culture lover. I love learning about different cultures. So I was that person who made as many Japanese friends as I could, did as many true Japanese experiences. Like, my best trip was to Miyajima, which is this gorgeous island with the big red Atori Gate.
Okay.
Where the tide goes in and out. You can sometimes walk on it, and when the tide's in, you drown.
Plan accordingly.
Yes. Get a boat. It's right off of Hiroshima, like about a half hour train ride there. And so I flew to Hiroshima and did the Peace Museum, which I think every human on the planet should attend the Peace Museum, because it's pretty impactful. Then I shot over to the ferry, took the ferry over to Miyajima, and I stayed at a traditional ryokan absolutely gorgeous.
What does that mean?
It's like a hotel bed and breakfast kind of place. And I opted for all Japanese food, like everything.
Wow.
Get to the station off of the ferry. There's a bunch of deer, wild deer that are running around trying to steal stuff out of your bag. And they picked me up in a car. They took me up. It's like halfway up Mount Meson where the place was. And it's gorgeous. And this was at the end of November. And it was right in the height of the Momojidani season, which is the red sugar maples. So,
oh my gosh.
Gorgeous. Absolutely luminescent, just red stunningness. And the best sleep I've ever had in my life.
Really?
I think it was like a double futon, and it was literally like sleeping on clouds.
Ah.
And a 10 centuries old grandma served me all my meals.
Sounds magical.
She carried heavy trays filled with beer and fresh oysters that they caught that day.
Wow.
Just, oh my gosh. It was so cool. I loved trying all the different foods, but it was incredible. And yeah, I embraced the culture all the time. I would go out on my days off and I would just explore. And I made so many friends that I'm still friends with today that I would love to get back to Japan to do more traveling. We did the ice festival in Hokkaido.
Oh, gosh, I bet that was just incredible.
So cold.
Well, yeah, okay.
Almost as cold as Northern England in January.
Oh, that's
cold. It was about.
When you were traveling, when you just described that amazing inn or bed and breakfast-ish place you were, did you do that by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel... I'm always so impressed because I think that I miss out on a lot of things when I travel by myself because I like having buddies. Have you ever hesitated about that? Or is that just in you? You're just like, let's just do it.
Well, I think I'm that person who will not take a guided tour because I don't like the format of, all right, everybody on the bus at this time.
Oh, yeah,
and
I don't
you
like
have
that.
45 minutes in the gift shop. And I'm a fan of the hop on, hop off tours.
Yes.
The only tour that was a guided tour that was fine was the one when we took to Hokkaido. Our friends who ran, their family ran a shabu shabu restaurant and we would always go. It was amazing. The family, absolutely amazing people. The Mono family. Hey, Monos. And they were going on this trip and they asked us if we all wanted to go. And we were like, absolutely. So we just paid them and then they took care of all the stuff. So it was like maybe eight of us gaijin on this tour bus, with the rest were Japanese elderly people, pretty much.
It's the best.
It was a blast. That was fun because all the destinations were places we wanted to go anyway. And the tour was so well thought out. Everybody had plenty of time everywhere we went. We went to a fox farm, like a refuge for fox.
Wait, what?
I got the most stunning pictures of a real fox that they weren't going to kill and make into a coat. There was an ice village, okay? So cold. So my pancreas is still thawing out.
I can't deal with you.
It's really that cold.
That's terrible.
But they make...
It's so cold. I don't believe in climate change. It's just so cold.
So they made this ice village and then they, you know, during the daytime, it just looks like ice made into trees and snow houses and bridges and blah de blah. But at night, they light it up.
Oh,
and it's amazing. And you do inner tubing and you can climb up. They've made like a little mini castle and you can climb up to the top and ring a bell. The only thing I didn't do was I really wanted to like get in a hot spring with the monkeys.
You did?
No, I wanted to do that.
You sure? Because aren't they dirty? But isn't that basically taking a bath with monkeys?
You don't know my life.
Like, you don't know what plan A was.
You don't know what I've been, where I've been.
Oh my gosh, hilarious. Okay, I'm going to shift off a little bit. Obviously, you have a love for travel, which, I don't know, fits us, I guess, fits our brand. But you're also a very loving, supportive person. And I know you wear that as a badge of honor. And I know that you would be very happy to know that that is a leading trait of yours. You know, I think it's worth saying how incredibly supportive you are of people. I think people will be surprised to know that the way that you and Allison know each other is that you were with Disenchanted for quite a while and then did not move on with one of the iterations. And I don't remember what city
Tampa.
To what city into Tampa. And Allison didn't do Tampa, but she did the next iteration. So you have shared a show together. You've shared a role together. You and I were in the show together for at least one or two runs.
Two runs, I think,
right? And when we moved to New York and you were so supportive, you wrote all the time. And when the other actress and I got nominated for an award, you took out an ad in the paper with your own money, with your own actor money. And I just, it's very rare in this business to find people that are fans of people and not fans of status or fans of glamour, maybe. What is it like moving through the world like that in our industry? Because it's not very often rewarded, probably.
Well, it's interesting you say that about the ad, because I don't remember that.
You did. It was very sweet. Maybe you were drunk.
I could have been. I could very well have been drunk. I almost adopted a dog drunk and had to, I was like, take back these. Sorry, I was drunk.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think ever since I was a little kid, I've known that my core job this life is to help people. But I truly love people. And I would rather go to my grave knowing that I had amazing relationships and I fostered love and caring and compassion above everything else than if I had a star on the Walk of Fame. Sure, I have big dreams of what I want to do with my career and places I want to go and things I want to do, but it's really the job I like. I love being an entertainer. I love the business of entertainment. So that's why I think why I really like being on this side of it, being a producer, because I still get to use my creative juices, but I also get to use my love of people. Like, I love you and Allison. It's cool for me to go, oh, golly, like, remember back in that other episode, like, maybe we should talk to that person again. Or, you know, you guys have done almost, you're gearing up to 200 episodes. Yeah, so there's a lot you're going to forget. I love collaboration. It makes me just as happy to see my friends get work as it does for me to get work. Truly does. Yeah. Like my best friend Trudy, before I kind of morphed into more character acty stuff, we got put up for the same roles all the time. And everybody would say, aren't you guys just like jealous of each other or competitive? And I'm like, no, because either way, we win. The only way we don't win is if somebody else gets the gig. But if I get it, we're going to be happy for me. And if she gets it, I'm going to be happy for her.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not often rewarded. It's certainly not rewarded financially a lot of the time. But, you know, at the end of the day, if I got hit by a bus tomorrow and died, I'd be happy because I feel like I was a good human.
Okay. For the record, if that happens tomorrow, I won't be happy, but it's good to know that we're sending you off. And also, we should say we're looking for another producer.
You're like, can you put that bus death off a little bit, please?
Okay, that actually leads us, the supporting other people and supporting other work, it leads us really well into what I want to talk about next, which is your podcast. And it's called The Rise. You started it during the pandemic. And what kind of stories do you want to highlight in this podcast? What are we going to get from it?
Well, The Rise is about highlighting the rise of arts and culture in Central Florida. Because I've been here 30 years, I've seen a lot of it grow. We've got the longest running, just celebrated the 30th year of the Orlando International Fringe Festival. It's the longest running fringe festival in North America. It's pretty impressive and so cool. It's the best 2 weeks in the year. It's really an amazing city. I love New York. I love Broadway. There's a glut of amazing talent down here. Great art, great culture is created here. My personal view is that Disney and Universal and SeaWorld brought so much talent down here, and the artists decided, oh, I like this standard of living. I'm going to stay here. What? I've got benefits and I'm in the union and I can buy a house and have children. And then after they got settled in here, they were like, okay, now I have this deep desire as an artist to create more art and bigger and better and more creative and more collaborative. And so it's been interesting to see over the decades, different things get created. So that's why we really started it. We wanted to kind of brag on our city that we're so proud of. My co-host is Ray Fournier, who's an executive producer at Disney Event Group. And we really just wanted to brag on the great talent in this town. I grew up in Cincinnati, and it was really great to grow up with all the culture that we had there. We had the CSO, the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, with the amazing Eric Kunzel at the helm. We had the Cincinnati Opera, Cincinnati Ballet. We had all the museums, Rookwood Pottery that I saw in Hamburg, Germany. When I was traveling over there, I was like, what do you mean there's Rookwood Pottery? How does Germans know about Rookwood Pottery? You know, so it was great growing up in a place where culture was embraced. And I learned a lot. I was formed a lot as an artist there. But once I became a professional, I had to leave the city because they would only hire people out of New York.
Yeah.
So one of my, albeit maybe selfish, goals is to get Orlando highlighted so that they can be treated with the respect that they deserve in the artist community. So over the pandemic, with the very important movement of Black Lives Matter, artists have come together and gotten real, which it's about time that people started listening to them about what it's like to be a person of color in this entertainment business in this town. So groups have been formed, organizations, and people are really starting to listen, which I think is fantastic. So there are a lot of interviews about that that we want to handle, talk to the artists, and just handle things that are actually happening now as well. So I feel personally that maybe some of the other stuff might go to the back burner because this is really pertinent now.
Sure.
And honestly, one of the big things that I want to address is that we as artists are second responders. And if somebody was lucky enough to not be in the hospital dying of COVID or in the hospital watching someone they love die of COVID, then they were probably in their house, reading a book, listening to a book online, binge watching television shows or movies, or taking a virtual tour from a famous art museum across the world. And we kept people alive. We kept their brains stimulated. We helped take away their fear for a little while. We comforted them. We soothed them. That's what art does, but no one wants to pay for it. We're constantly asked to apologize financially for being given the gifts that we were given. And yet we're supposed to give them away for free. And of course, I'm an artist who likes to do art for the sake of art. I'm a queen of do-goodery, so I certainly donate my time and talents to people all the time for great causes. But when it comes down to this pandemic and people have been out of work for a year and a half and you don't have a job anymore, yeah. You know, it's, you shouldn't have to feel like, oh, well, I have to go get a regular job because somebody else who doesn't have our talents may need that job.
That is very true. So, it's very true. We all kind of took our little slots before the pandemic and now they're all shuffled and people don't know where to get their work anymore.
Right. So that's kind of our goal, is just to give a platform to brag on the great artists in our community.
I love it. And it sounds like because you're doing things that are kind of current, but you also have a historical or evolutionary bent to it too. No matter when they tune in, you're going to find a story that is going to be fresh and new. And sometimes it might be something of the time and sometimes it might be a historical lesson. Okay, I was going to ask you about where you wanted 10K to go, but now I'm scared of manifesting too loudly. And that should have been Allison that asked you that question because I have too much anxiety about it. Therefore, we're going to move to the 10K 5. All right. Andrea, I suspect you know these questions.
I might.
Are these answers going to be spontaneous or are they going to be thought through for you?
I've thought them through because I thought I would stutter too much with thinking about it.
You know what? You do you. You're the one editing. All right. Andrea Kenny.
Yes.
What's your obsession?
Well, my current obsession is caught up with my lifelong obsession, which you probably already know, dogs.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I have recently gotten into TikTok. And so, you know, once you start subscribing to different TikTok accounts, it starts giving you more of those in your feed. So I get a lot of dogs.
Are you on like an unlimited dog loop right now?
I can waste so much time
just watching dogs.
I wish someone would hook me up to some electrode thing for the sake of science to look at my brain when I'm watching these videos. And then there's other ones that I've always been obsessed with, like Mamo, the lemon beagle.
What's a lemon beagle?
A lemon beagle is like a beagle who went through the wash too many times.
It's a not, color thing?
It's like, are they colored? It's a lighter color. it almost looks like they've been washed too much. Oh, and it washed a little of the brown out.
They're faded
beagles, and they're so adorable. And he's got a sister named Penny, and then Pot Pie is their little brother. And they're so adorable. I watch their videos and I giggle like a 2-year-old.
What's the name of the first beagle?
Mamo, M-A-Y-M-O, Mamo the lemon beagle. And I'm obsessed with him. Sure. And then there's Tuna, melts my heart, the little chihuahua from the puppy mill that has the overbite with the cutest little mitten teeth. And he's got little neck rolls and little potato chip ears. And now he's wearing, and he's obsessed with this toy, and they have to get this Colin toy. I guess it's a cartoon character named Colin. And they literally have piles of this toy because he only wants that toy. So they have to keep getting new ones.
You're so invested.
I love him.
And these dogs. I feel like reality television producers, are you listening? Because you're spending way too much money on your reality TV. Andrea just wants dogs.
My dream job. People have been asking me this because I'm looking for a full-time job, right? It's so funny to see their reaction because they're asking me this because they think they're doing me a favor. Like they're going to bring something out of me, which is awesome. I love it. And they're like, what's your dream job? What's your dream job? And I'm like, do you really want to know? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I want my own talk show interviewing people and their dogs.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
That's my dream job.
Duh.
Durr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Animal Planet. Let's get on this.
Come on. I know that Animal Planet's channel 44. Oh my gosh. I don't have cable. I haven't had cable in a long time.
You don't have cable and you know what channel Animal Planet
is? 44. It's my favorite number twice and it's dogs. I can't get better than that in my life.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Besides the talk show, what's on your wish list?
I want to be queer-eyed.
Really?
I want to be queer-eyed so badly.
Oh, can you ask to be queer-eyed?
Well,
how does that work?
Because I do have a producer brain. I know they go to certain cities and they must decide this, you know, a year in advance. They're currently in Austin.
Okay.
So our friend Colleen Wilson, who lives down there, I was like, your job, if you choose to accept it, which you will choose to accept it or you will no longer be my friend, is you will find some way to get to them and their producer and tell them that I'm the gay lighthouse and that they need to come to Orlando for their next city and they need to queer eye me and I will pretend like I'm surprised.
Are you insistent it is the queer eye people?
Or I love them so hard.
Okay. That was
I
the
love
question.
Them so hard. Yes, okay. I mean, well, yeah, sure. If somebody else wanted to come into my life and organize stuff, I'm not a hoarder, but you've seen my place. It's small.
It's just small.
It's small and I'm not the tidiest person in the planet. But like when I lived in Japan the last two times, the apartments were set up with built-in storage.
Oh, dream.
Right?
Yeah.
So all I had to do was find little containers at what? My favorite store, the 100 yen store.
The 100 yen store.
Yep.
Hi, dozo. Irashimase.
Every time you walk in, thank you. I am happy to be here too. I don't have that organizational brain for stuff like that.
Same.
I love the clever brains of my friends who are really good at that. But I also love those guys so much that show I cry like a baby every single episode.
Third question. If you had $10,000, what would you do with it?
I have always wanted to live in a cottage on a cliff in Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And my mom's English-Irish from there, born and raised. And I still have a lot of relatives in England and Ireland. And so I would want to see how much 10K could get me, like how much time could 10K get me in renting a small cottage, maybe with a small little garden on a cliff in Ireland.
Oh, wow.
And then enough money to go visit my relatives in Ireland, hop over to England, visit my relatives there, and then go up to Scotland and do the Scotch tour, like the whiskey tours that they do, whiskey trail.
All right. That sounds great.
Ireland is even greener than you think it is. It really, truly, and honestly is.
I really want to go. It's definitely on my list.
And they're so friendly. The first time my sister and I did the Dublin Marathon, we were walking it. So, you know, you spend more time hearing what people are saying. And certainly when I run, it's just about as fast as I walk. But they're all out in their front yards and they're like, well done, well done. And this family had a table set up with food that they were eating and they're drinking and they had the speakers blasting the Bee Gees. They were offering for us to go in. You need to use the loo. And I'm like, oh, I don't think you want this sweaty body on your loo.
That's so funny.
Yeah, they're really friendly people.
I love that. I love friendly people and I love whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like that's my people.
Yeah.
I also like cheddar cheese.
Yes.
And
sharp cheddar cheese.
I like good luck.
Yep.
Good luck is good for me. I enjoy that.
Fun fact, I love Harp beer.
Yeah.
Which is made in Dublin. And you can barely get a Harp to save your life in Dublin.
Really?
Yeah. It's easier to get a Carlsberg or a Budweiser.
Why?
They don't really drink it. They don't really drink it. They either drink Guinness
or spirits. Newcastle here.
Mm-hmm.
No one in England drinks Newcastle.
No.
It's Swill over there. And here it's...
People... It's bougie.
Well, it says it's from England, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be good.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you'd do if you had $10,000. I like that. And I invited myself. I didn't ask you.
Well, you're so coming.
Thank you. If you had it to give away, how would you do it?
This is my favorite. I want to split it in half. And half is going to Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. Surprise, surprise.
Okay.
In Kanab, Utah.
Oh, you know, Allison covered that in a 10K day.
I know. I... Maybe obsessed with that place.
Okay.
And also fun fact, Colleen that we were talking about earlier, she was the one who created, she does development. So for nonprofits, she helps them raise money.
with creative ideas and everything. And so, and she created the Strut Your Mutt campaign for them to raise money for Best Friend Sanctuary.
Oh, how cute.
A lot of money. You know, when I was going to turn 50, you know, we were thinking, what are we going to do? And I was like, let's go out to Best Friends Animal Sanctuary and do like a volunteer-cation, right? And you can rent little cottages there, and then you can have a sleepover.
With the animals?
You can have sleepovers with your animals, and I want to play with them.
Okay. And okay, that sounds perfect for you. Yeah, you should do it.
Yes. So that's how I fell in love with that place, but they do such amazing work. And like when my love of my life, dog Tony Baloney, passed, I made a donation to, they have a thing where you can write up a little blurb, a memoriam, and like, I think I sent $75 that goes to them, but it lives on their website forever.
Yeah. I think you mentioned that on your Guest Google Day.
Did I?
I definitely know that Tony Baloney has a little spot there. Oh. So you've definitely told me that. And I love that he lives on. Not just there on the website, but in the story. He lives on in the story.
Yeah.
You know, which is really beautiful. Yeah.
So that half will go to them. And then the second half will go to Hope for Paws, which is a great rescue out in LA. And I have it set up with PayPal. I give them $5 a month. It's not a lot, but it's still something.
But it makes you feel like you're doing it. That's okay. I understand.
I watch their videos. They're gut-wrenching. But it's this guy and these a few women that help him. And they get a call. And then they go out on this mission out on the streets of LA. And they save these animals. And then they get them fixed up and homes. And I bawl my eyes out, and I just take all my money, just save all the damn dogs.
You're so sweet.
Save them all and then give them to me.
No, you don't have room in your apartment for all those dogs. You just don't. All right. Clearly, if you want to keep in touch with Andrea, it's going to be very easy. You can email her, get this, at Andrea@10kdollarday.com because she has her own email address.
Alert.
If you want to reach all of us, you can reach us at 10kdollarday@gmail.com. And of course, we're on the social media, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, at 10kdollarday. Please come meet us. If you would like to follow Andrea, how can they find you on your social media?
I have a Facebook page. I think it's Andrea Canny Sings. That's my professional page. And then on Instagram, I'm PupButt, PUPBUTT, because puppy butts are my happy thought.
Well, we're not there yet. We're not at the happy yet. Calm yourself down. because first, I want to tell everyone to make sure they go into that podcast player you're listening to right now and look up The Rise, and you will see it's right there. It's got a cute little
logo.
Well, hold on. I'm trying to describe it. It's like your cell batteries. I would say if they're looking at it from a thumbnail, right. Which one is it? It's the one that looks like colored cell batteries.
Usually you have to go because there is the former podcast of someone, and I'm blanking on her name right now, sorry, was The Rise or just Rise.
Okay.
So that would consistently come up. But if you just put in The Rise and then my name, it'll come up. But our logo, we tried to be clever because it was looking like the levels of sound, but it also, if you look closely, it's rounded just enough to look like the pride colors on the amphitheater in downtown Orlando.
So gorgeous. I love it. Fun. So please make sure you look that up. Give her a little subscribe. Give her some 5 stars and say you heard about it here at 10K Dollar Day. That would be awesome for her. You know, just play it today. Just put it on. Just play those episodes. Give her some plays.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you will be hearing her voice sometimes because obviously she's an amazing performer. So if we ever need a co-host, she's going to be right there. And also make sure you check out our blog because 10kdollardate.com/blog. The producer always puts together a really great companion blog for all of our 10K episodes. And Andrea takes over and she is an amazing writer. You'll also see a lot of Ash's blogs, who was our previous producer, who did an amazing job. And her blogs are right there too. We're going to buy lines for both of them so you always know which one wrote which one. But for now, please go there and see what our producer is correct for all of our things and all of those things.
I also have a website.
Oh, just please.
AndreaCanny.com. Pretty easy.
Yeah. And AndreaCanny.com. Go there because she's an amazing coach. She does vocal coaching and leadership coaching and acting coaching. And she wasn't going to say this, but I'll say it. She is looking for a full-time job. So if you think that she comes endorsed by us, she's whipping us into shape. So if you have a talk show about dogs... please email us it. Email it straight to her. Don't email it to us. I'll take the job. I'll take the gig. Email her, Andrea@10kdollardate.com. I'm so glad you were here with
Thank
us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're like here in general, but I'm also just so glad you're here today and that the equipment actually worked.
This is our third or fourth attempt?
It's our third attempt. Third. And before we move into your happy, are you surprised or not surprised at the amount of work that goes into 10K Dollar Day?
I'm not surprised, but good. Because
when I'd be listening, and then especially during the pandemic when you started the Daily Happy, I was like, what the pluck are you doing? I mean, thank you, but what screw got loosened in your heads?
We didn't have jobs then.
I know, I know, I know. But
we were just sitting at home.
Oh,
it was
my
very
golly,
easy.
Moses. I'm like, I don't know how you guys are like Energizer bunnies.
I don't know.
But I wasn't surprised because when we went to PodFest last year.
The conference.
2 years ago now, right?
Yes. Yeah. Andrea came with Allison and I to a podcast conference in March 2020.
It was literally right before.
The last things that we did right before everything shut down because Andrea was about to start The Rise.
Because you two are so amazing. And anytime I had a question about podcast building, you two were right there. You two are so supportive of podcasters. I love it. It's amazing because you don't forget what it felt like to be at the beginning and not know what to do.
Yeah.
But that was the main thing I was blown away with at PodFest was I was like, oh my God, these people are all so supportive.
The podcast community is great.
Incredible. You know, that dinner.
We had a great dinner.
Boys.
Well,
ever,
we had a great dinner. And if you guys are listening ever, Dan, who else was there? The guys from Resonate Sound in Nashville were there. But we had a really great dinner that felt like we all created new networks. And then we all stayed home for a year and a half. And what's funny is the people at that dinner who I had just met at the conference, we kept in touch through the pandemic way more than was warranted by one networking dinner.
It was a magical dinner.
But then we all also just went home. And so I feel like there was a little of checking in with each other. Hey, you were the only people I met in 2020. Hey guys, I just wanted to make sure you're okay because I don't know you well enough and I don't know if we're supposed to check on each other.
Yeah, I'm just so excited to be a part of this amazing organization of 10K because I've been, like you said, a fan for the longest time. And I always in the back of my head.
Your book of my head.
The book of my head. Always in the back of my head, I was like, gosh, Ash is so lucky to be their producer and she does such a great job. And oh my gosh, one day I would love to be able to be part of 10K in some way, you know? So I'm just so stoked. I'm so excited about our future together. And I couldn't imagine a better team to be a part of. I mean, you guys are gorgeous human beings inside and out. It's just awesome.
Thanks,
super
man.
Stoked.
Yep. We're going to have fun. What's your happy?
My happy is working with really good friends that I love and adore. And part of that is 10K. And then the other part is my friend Mary Jane has, during this pandemic, been lucky to, it's been just over a year. She just celebrated her year anniversary. It started out with contact tracing until it went full blown where you couldn't even contact trace. You just had to deal with everything. And
sorry, her anniversary of what?
Of that job.
Of
contact tracing.
Oh, working. She works contact tracing. Got it.
Now she works for the Department of Health.
Got it.
It's a very difficult job.
She's been doing that for the year?
For a year.
She's been in COVID every day, all the time for a year.
Yeah.
Oof.
Beautiful entertainer, but she's such a beautiful person. And, you know, she's so grateful for the job, but not only not being able to create art and be a part of art, to be in that emotional state every day. It's been a lot on her, but she's chosen to rise above and she has written a play that is based on all the trials and tribulations of our core group of friends that we've relied on each other during this past year. And it is so stinking hilarious. And she's from Rochester, where our friend Tom Vazana is also from. And she just got accepted. The show got accepted to the Rochester Fringe Festival. So she's hired me to come on as kind of like Tom's going to be the executive producer and I'm going to be like the production manager, producer / marketing, publicity, PR, blah, blah, blah.
Perfect.
And because I know more about Fringe and she needs to be working on the script and all that stuff. That, you know, plus she's got a job. So that is really making me super happy to know that I'm going to be working with you guys and working on MJ's project. That brings me life and breath and air and happiness.
Yeah. It sounds like you have a lot of dynamic things happening.
Yes.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah.
I know that it can get bogged down with the job search and the unemployment and the
job search is pretty much a full-time job.
I know.
But I'm doing my best to just try to keep it all the balls up in the air and juggle them as I need to and try to just enjoy the fact that I'm alive. And
yeah, I'll tell you get hit by the bus. But until you've already said bus. It'll be fine. I mean,
meet Joe Black. Here we go.
I love you. Thank love you, you for being here, everyone. There's way more Andrea to come from now until she quits. So
I ain't quitting.
Good.
We're Enjoy going to that. The stars.
We're going to the Kids. Stars, and we're just going to add on and add on.
Oh, we're just going to keep adding
on. We'll see
on.
What happens. Hey, everyone. You, too. If you've been listening for a while, I love that Andrea is our new producer. I love that she was a bae. I love that you guys have heard her name multiple times. I love that she's done a guest Googler for you. So when we say that our listeners mean a lot to us, we mean it, and we'll probably offer you all jobs soon. Okay.
Bye. Bye.
That was 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu. And don't forget, with friends like us, who needs amenities?